This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Every time. All right. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a happy hour Friday. It's noon.
Yeah, man.
On a happy hour
it's
Friday.
On up in this thing.
And people are here at Twin Peaks and Kennesaw. The bar's filling up, hanging out. That guy's got a nice pour of something brown with like a one of those ice cube balls in it.
That's I didn't know they had those
here. That's a classy cocktail that man's got right over there.
Classy cocktail.
Yeah, look at that.
Oh, the circle ice ball. Yeah, I didn't know they had that.
It looks like he's about to make some business decisions.
Yeah, like they're having a business meeting at Twin Peaks. Yeah, they heard us talking about it, so they've got to move.
All right, he's leaving. All right, sorry. Ruined his lunch. But you can come on up. We won't talk about you. Just come on up and say hi. We'll be here until 2
we're not going to make that promise.
Yeah, actually,
yeah,
probably.
We're not going to make that promise.
We probably will. That's funny. He's leaving.
We damn sure going to talk about it.
Sorry.
Whatever,
sorry.
Man.
All right, anyway, Smoking Joe Patrick's going to join us in 15 minutes.
That type of guy, anyway.
We'll play Sports Jeopardy.
I like little cubes.
Yeah, or just, yeah, give me a square. Give me a cube.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
A little circle.
I do kind of like the circle one.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
We'll get to a back page with Bo coming up at 12:40 as well. NFL No Huddle just a couple of minutes away. Thanks again to Greg Cosell for all of the insight with all of the prospects in the draft.
You know, yesterday when you were talking about y'all grill, like the unexpected grill, like my sister and them are here. And so my wife, Donna, was like, you want a grill? I was like, yeah, go grab some burgers or something. And she's Filipino, so it's a birthday. So, you know, they got to do it big for the birthday. I'm like, hold on, babe.
Whose birthday was it?
My sister-in-law.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, baby, it's Thursday. All right, but then you know me. Anytime I can find the grill. So I said, like, just bring something, man. She came back, Andy. I grilled some squid yesterday.
Wow.
Like shrimp, chicken, steak. Like, she went, like, this is.
Now, I've done all the other ones. Grilled shrimp's amazing. Yeah. I've never grilled squid.
It's not hard. It's not hard at all. But I'm just saying, like, all this food. And, like, I got up this morning because I went to bed for everybody. And, like, you know how you like, damn, maybe there might be something left over. They ate all the damn food while I was asleep. Like, I'm thinking, like, when I leave here, I'm going to have me a nice little snack, maybe something was left over from yesterday. Between the adults and my greedy-ass nieces, there's no more food left. Like, they ate all Uncle Randy's food. Like, there's nothing.
Well, I mean, yesterday you got woke up at 4:30 in the morning to make bacon.
Yeah.
So they woke up hungry and they went to bed full.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Ate all my damn food.
You're a good host.
Yeah, like, what the hell's going on? Ate all Uncle Randy's damn food.
I had the exact opposite happen to me yesterday where I got home before they did. She had ballet, so they were up there. And I was like, all right, let me make some stuff for when you guys get home. So I made some nice chicken and asparagus with some ravioli on the side.
Nice.
It was really nice. And everybody got home, and they're like, we're not hungry.
Oh, hell no.
And I was like, what happened? You just made all this food. Like, this week could have fed 10 people with all the food I made, and none of them ate anything. So I guess I got lunch today.
And don't irritate me more than that.
I was.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, what'd you guys have? Well, we stopped and got some cookies.
Why didn't you
eat cookies before dinner?
Yeah, man.
What are we doing? We got it backwards.
I bet if you did it, it'd be a problem.
Definitely.
Yeah, if you bought the cookies when she made dinner, it'd be a problem.
Just like yesterday, if I would have gone off the script with the clothes for picture day, it would have been a problem.
It is what it is.
That's that double standard they were talking about with Wiley Ballard.
It is what it is, man. But, like, sometimes you just got to let, like, my boy wanted to wear slides to school today. I'm like, what? So, I'm like, dog, no.
How come?
No.
You're
not wearing slides. My son is not wearing slides to school. No. And he's like, well, I was like, no. He's like, it's not, he said, what is it? Other kids do. I was like, I don't care. Your last name is McMichael. You mine. No. Just like we tried to wear pajama pants to school. I was like, no.
Yeah, I understand that one.
No.
I understand that
like,
one.
Like, what is wrong with you? No, you're not wearing pajama pants to school, and you ain't wearing no slides to school. Get over it. And so he tried to show his mom. He's like, so Donna comes downstairs and he's asking her. And I was like, what did I say?
Right.
Like, she ain't going. And Donna looked at him like, what did he say?
Yeah, we've had that, like, too. It's like, no. Look, one person's answer is both people's answer. All right?
No.
There's no second opinions around here.
Hell no. You want no damn slides to school?
I said no.
Damn shoes on.
I said no.
Yeah, man. But I tell you, some of the stuff they wear, and now the hoodies have come back out. Like, it was cold, they were wearing short sleeve shirt.
Right.
Now it's back hot. All of them got on damn hoodies.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it makes a whole lot
it
of sense.
It makes perfect man. Sense. Yeah. All right, let's get to an NFL no huddle. All right, so, first of all, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Second of all, if you missed our conversation with Greg Cosell, NFL Films, NFL Network, all this guy does is sit in his office.
That's it.
And watch tape on these guys. That's all he does. That's all he does. So we love talking to him and sort of getting his sort of last minute end impressions on all these prospects that have been linked to the Atlanta Falcons. If you missed it, rewind the Odyssey app back to 1240. We talked to him for 15 minutes and asked him about as many guys as we could. I wrote down some quotes regarding a lot of the guys that we talked about.
I got a question because I'm looking over some other stuff, some notes and everything, and looking over some stuff Greg had put out there and talking about all the defensive linemen. How did I miss this kid from Ole Miss? Princely?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was like, is the name? It is Princely. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Princely?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's it. Go ahead. That's what you're saying.
Okay. I felt good. I had to look up this morning Donovan Ezeraku.
Yes.
And I think I got it right. Greg knew who I was talking about at least. He said really long arms about Donovan Ezeraku, and arm length has become a really big deal. But he also called him a, quote, sub-defense edge pass rusher.
No, you don't need –
can't be drafting those guys in the first round.
No,
not for the Falcons.
Not, the Falcons don't need a situational guy. The Falcons don't need – a guy that's going to sit behind somebody. And go, they need a guy that's going to get going from the get-go when you talk about defensive line. Now, he's a good player, though.
Sure.
He's a good player.
Sure, and if that's
like
who they take.
And not saying that he can't develop into that. You know, I think sometimes when we put the situational tag on certain players, sometimes when you get them in, they're like, oh, damn. This dude could actually do more than what we saw. And I just think that, you know, when you talk about where the Falcons are, and I know a lot of people want to base it off the base defense, 3-4 defense. You're a sub package more than anything, all right? And if you can get a guy on the edge, no matter if he's an edge, a defensive end, because I hate that new freaking position of edge.
And it's like, wait, what is it?
Yeah,
oh,
he's
on the edge.
I hate that freaking new –
is he a linebacker?
That new freaking label of edge player, whatever. But if you can get a guy that could bend, like Greg was talking about, because that's the biggest thing. And you go back to what he was talking about with Shamar Stewart. Like, the dude is a freak, but he can't bend.
Yeah. I mean, this is the quote that Greg Cosell had about Shamar Stewart. Doesn't know how to rush the quarterback.
Yes.
So I'm good. You know what I mean? Like, you got to get a guy in here. I'm not saying that he can't learn how to, but he said Mike Green's got the most tools in his toolbox.
Right.
It sounded like he was saying he's the most ready to go week one in 2025. Seems like if that's, you know, if the Falcons are going to take an edge rusher, which is still a big if because who knows, that – guy seems like he makes the most sense.
Because a lot of times when you look at, say, a guy like Mike Green, you go back to where he played at, and then you look at the competition level, but then you see schools like Marshall, they play against big schools. How did he play? He talked about how good he played against Ohio State. Remember when Khalil Mack played against Ohio State?
Yeah.
And was a one-man damn wrecking crew?
Yeah.
You got to see that. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, well, damn, he's from Buffalo. Can we draft him that high? And you see what Khalil Mack
good
does.
Thing you
so
did.
It's more
yeah, because great players come from all over.
They come
the
from all over. But a lot of those times when you go against – when you're a Buffalo or you're a Marshall, you get opportunities. Your school gets paid to come get the hell beat out of them. But how did you play in that game?
Also love what he said about Walter Nolan. We already liked Walter Nolan just from watching him. He said he thinks he's the best defensive tackle prospect in the draft.
But,
okay.
A lot of people love Mason
That's
Graham.
High praise. I mean, but to say that over Mason Graham is high praise. He also said kind of offhand in the middle of another – sentence about Walter Nolan, looked like Jalen Carter. Okay.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
I've seen that guy play good football both in college and pro.
This dude's about to break the bank.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So kind of, I mean, I already liked Walter Nolan, but he gave me a little bit more of an idea to like him as well. Go back and listen to the Greg Cosell interview. Really good stuff as always. You want to get Falcons fans frustrated? Because a lot of people already don't like Chris Collinsworth.
Yeah. I'm not one of those
What
people.
Is it? Is he too excited?
I don't know. I'm not one of those
Or I guess people think that he hates on certain teams.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever.
Yeah, I'm definitely not one of those
He put out his final mock draft.
Yes.
First-round mock draft.
Yes.
He's got the Falcons taking Luther Burden at 15. Luther Burden is a wide receiver.
Yeah, man.
He's a very good wide receiver.
And we talk about my man, Theo the Kid, sent me a funny one yesterday They dropped the offensive player, got the guy drinking out of a gasoline, Falcons fan drinking out of a gasoline can, and everybody had the one of them walking up to the gasoline can, walking up to Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
That's my favorite Falcons meme.
Like, this is my, oh, it's my favorite one. But here's the thing about that. Some of my favorite people are going to be there, all right? And I'm talking, I know the fans are going to be there that night on Thursday night, but three of my favorite people are going to be there,
uh-huh.
All right? Mike Conti's going to be there.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wes Durham's going to be there.
Yeah, definitely.
Dave Arch is going to be
those
there.
Those are all people that I like a lot.
These are people that I like a whole lot, man.
Wait till they leave.
Yeah.
We like those guys too much. We like those guys too much. But here's what's worse is he's got the Falcons taking Luther Burden at 15. He also has Jalen Walker, Malachi Starks, and Mikael Williams on the board and going after that.
Yeah. So we're not going to do that.
No, we're not doing
that. We're not going to. Now, Luther Burden is
not
a hell of
a happen.
Luther Burden is a hell of a player.
Here's the thing about Luther Burden that's kind of surprised me through this process is I've seen him dropping into the second round in some mock drafts.
I have too.
That guy's an absolute monster.
He's a stud.
Like, he's going to be a really good
–
unless there's stuff we don't know about, which there very well may be, like off-the-field stuff. I don't know. But I – from a football standpoint, that guy's incredible.
Yeah, I when I saw that bunk, I was thinking the same thing. Like, what the hell is going on, man? But, you know, the draft is so crazy because a lot of times when you watch out, you're like, why? The projections and all that. Then obviously you get Cleveland Farrell going number four overall. So you just don't know how it goes. But
that's true.
You know what I mean? Like,
some of these people
John Ross going
jobs.
Number nine.
Hey, take it easy on John Ross.
Well, man's I'm not talking about either.
No, I know.
You talk about it more than I do.
I know, it just hurts.
Oh, I know it does.
Why? I just wanted John to do better, you know?
Oh,
I wanted better for John.
Yeah. Yeah, like y'all boys. Wanted better for John,
you know? But what happened to John is the most John thing that could have happened.
Oh, he got hurt.
Ran the fastest 40 up until that point, got hurt doing it.
Yes.
That's John Ross. That is the John Ross experience. Do we have time to do this? Do we even want to do this?
Nah,
do we even want it?
Aaron Rodgers.
If we don't have to hear from Aaron Rodgers, we don't have
Aaron
to.
Aaron Rodgers basically went on Pat McAfee, told his side of the story. Basically, the Jets and Aaron Glenn made him fly all the way from
– and pay for it.
Where do you live at? He lives in
– California somewhere.
One of them California cities. Yeah. One of them fancy ones. And made him fly all the way to New Jersey just to tell him that you're going to be cut.
Yep.
They brought you here because they asked him why, what they want to put in the press release as far as mutual agreement. And
they
all
really had
things.
Him fly out there just so they could
Huntington
plan.
Beach, I think it's Huntington Beach.
Malibu.
Malibu, yeah, that's it, Malibu.
So just so they could plan the press release.
Yes. No, that was AG standing on business. I think it was a little grandstanding by AG.
Yeah, it's a little
petty.
But
I love AG.
It's a little petty.
But it was a little petty. It's one of those things. You could have called his agent and told him that.
Everybody listening has this at work. That could have been an email.
Yes.
It very easily could have been handled with a call or an email.
It could have been.
But, you know.
Yeah, it could have been.
Fly, you know.
But he's going through
all the way out there. Frequent flyer miles.
He's going through some personal stuff in his personal life, which is truly understandable.
Who is?
Aaron, as far as him retiring or that, it's other stuff going on, not holding by hostage, he said that he'd never asked for a multi-year deal and that he'll play for 10 M's.
Okay.
Yeah. That was it, basically.
Right. There you go. That's a good summary. Smoke and Joe Patrick's going to join us next. Less than a week to the first round of the NFL draft. We'll get his thoughts on what the Falcons may do in the first round and all things Falcons related. Also got to get a couple of Lenny and I questions.
I'm starting off with it.
Oh, really? Okay.
I want to know what the hell going on over there.
Yeah, there's some weird stuff going on up there in Marriott. I don't know if there is or not. Joe will tell us if there is coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a happy hour Friday, broadcasting live from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Come by and see us. We'll be here till 2 o'clock. The beer is currently 29 degrees. A nice cold beer.
Yeah, man, go down smooth.
Beautiful Friday.
Go down smooth and don't come up rough.
That's what you want.
Yeah, that's what you want.
That's what
right
you're looking for. Got to stay down.
Yeah.
We'll get to a Sports Jeopardy coming up in about 20 minutes. Actually, more like 27 minutes because we'll get to a back page with Bo first and Smoke and Joe Patrick just a minute away.
Yeah, man, I just want to know because we know Joe and he is – we call him a troublemaker.
Well, he is one.
But the thing with Joe, Joe want all the smoke.
Yeah.
He want all the smoke. He's confirmed that a couple times that, like –
he'll climb up the chimney.
Whoever wants some.
To get the
smoke. Whoever wants some, man. Now, you know, walk around looking like Stone Cold Steve Austin. Yeah, he wants the smoke. But I need to know what's smoking over there, around his corner over there in Marietta. Because, you know me. I don't. What my man Carl Duke say? I don't talk about them. I don't spread rumors. I just talk about them when they're out.
Yeah.
Something out over there.
Well, let's see if Joe knows any of the rumors.
Yeah, something out over there.
He'll probably start one.
At One United Way. Is that the name of the street?
It sounds good.
Okay.
Sounds good.
One United Way. We've got 92.9 The Game's midday hosts, Andy and Randy, at a combined 12 feet, 3 inches, and just under 400 pounds. To the best of our knowledge. And in the other corner, 92.9 The Game's reporter, Smokin' Joe Patrick, at an undisclosed height and weight because he likes to cause trouble.
All right, Joe.
Hey.
Happy Friday to you. How are you?
Hello, gentlemen. It's good to be with you. And, I guess there is some smoke going on over at Lenny. Now, I feel like it's not coming from me as much as it's coming from the ears of Ronnie Dyla and just the frustration that seems to be boiling over there. But, certainly plenty of drama going on.
Like what, Joe? I mean, obviously, losing, elevates everything else. But this dude talking about Rogue and all this other stuff, like, what the hell?
Well, so, there's a couple things there. You know, something that Ronnie Dyla was speaking about yesterday and what I was kind of mentioning is, you know, Miguel Almirón in the team's last game that they played last Saturday against the New England Revolution, he was just kind of all over the place. He was supposed to be playing on the left wing, but he kept on trying to find the game, you know, coming to the ball, and therefore that was just causing some trouble, I think, for the rest of the team and the way the whole thing was supposed to operate. So I think what they're trying to do with Miguel at this point, because when he was in Atlanta the first time, he had kind of ultimate freedom in Tata Martino's system. It was basically, right. He was almost kind of playing, he almost had the freedom of a forward in the way he was just kind of able to go out and just make things happen and just connect the game to Joseph Martinez, and the way that Ronnie Dyla wants to play is more structured. He wants him, what Ronnie would call it, playing more positional, kind of sticking to your zone. And even if the ball goes away from you, Miguel needs to kind of pin the opponent, like keep in his position so that the opponent has to respect him. It's like spreading the floor in basketball. You know, you don't want everybody kind of clustering over in one spot because it makes you easier to defend. So I think that that's kind of the teething issue that's happening there so far and kind of what I was referencing in some of those tweets. However, Randy, there is some other, like, maybe more drama. There was a little brouhaha, a fracas, a classic training camp shuffle, basically, that happened during training camp this week with Tristan Mbayumba and Bartek Schleish, you know, two midfielders who play next to each other in most games, kind of getting into it with one another. They were on opposing teams in a practice competition, and things got heated and physical. So I actually think that's a kind of a good thing, though, for this Atlanta United team to see them getting that anger out, you know, and really kind of bring the passion to practice in that way. I think it's good for this team. It's what they need.
I do too. I mean, they're playing poorly, or at least the results have been bad.
Yeah.
Might as well get in a fight with each other about it.
Might as well. They're like brothers fighting.
Yeah.
Bring it closer together.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. Hopefully they can translate or use that rage towards getting a result this weekend. Let me change gears here and talk a little Falcons as we're less than a week away from the NFL draft, at least the first round of the NFL draft. Second and third rounds are a week from today. When you look at historically, because you've been covering the team for a handful of years now, certainly the Terry Fontenot era, when you look at how they handle the pre-draft meetings and pro days and combines and stuff like that, do you feel like you have a pretty good sense of what they're going to do on draft day, or are you just as confused as the rest of us?
I feel like I do. I feel like I do, and I say that with a little bit of caution for the obvious reasons why I think you, like you just said, you kind of don't know where they're going to go. Maybe that's the more humble approach to take. I just feel like they have to go with an edge rusher, and I feel like – let me say this. They have to go with a defensive player. I'm already hedging. They have to go with a defensive player with that first pick. And the only reason I feel, like, pretty confident in that, other than just assessing the roster and just seeing the obvious needs there, is that I feel like they're basically telegraphing this. They have been telegraphing it really since the owners' meetings when, you know, Arthur Blank came out and had his comments about what he expects from this draft. And I think that even in some of the public statements, and I think we're going to hear from Terry Fontenot next Wednesday, you know, I think that they will be open about, you know, that's what they're looking for. And then when you look at the draft class, you know, it is a class that sets up very well for what they need, especially in the first round. You know, there's going to be edge rushers available for them to draft. you know, whether, you know, their top guy, whether that's Mike Green or Mikel Williams or whoever it is, Shamar Stewart, whoever it is, whether that player's there or not is to be determined. But they also have a need potentially at safety, and you've got a great safety option in Malachi Starks if he's there. If they really want to focus on that nickelback, they've got Jahdae Barron who could very well be there for them. So I just feel like there are so many defensive players in this class that would fit a very specific need for them that is going to be available for them, and I think that that's ultimately the route that they're going to go. Now, could they go offense maybe earlier than we thought if they do end up drafting a tackle maybe with a second-round pick? Or if they trade down and they accrue more picks, could they pick one up potentially? But I really do believe them when they say that this is going to be a very defensive-focused draft. And, you know, I kind of narrowed down to say I really think they're going to go edge rusher. I think that, you know, with Terry Fontenot, when he talks about his best player available, he always kind of hedges it to be like the best player available for us. And what I take about that "for us" part is what player can we take that's going to add the most value to the team? And I think that when you look at where can you add value, it's with that pass rush, with the guys that are in this class. And so I think that that's the way that they're kind of looking at things.
JP, I know we keep talking about edge, pass rush, all this different thing. What's the Falcons' second biggest need in your opinion?
I think it's that nickel. And, you know, I think, you know, by signing Jordan Fuller from the Panthers, it's not like he's like some great safety, but I do think that they're more comfortable with what they have at safety at this point. Or let me say this. I'm more comfortable with what they have at safety at this point than with what they have at the cornerback positions. I just think that you have a lot of players there who are either, you know, we have a good sample size of them and they're just clearly kind of, you know, not of the caliber that you need if you really want to be, you know, a division-winning team and a team that's going to challenge in the playoffs. And, you know, when you look at some of the numbers last year, and some of this I'm sure is scheme-related, but, I mean, Falcons nickelbacks were targeted more than any in the NFL last year, and opposing teams had the most were more successful against Falcons nickelbacks than pretty much any other team. And so, you know, I just think that there's a clear need there. And I think one of the interesting questions for the Falcons and for Falcons fans to consider when we talk about this is, should they be actually going out looking to acquire specifically a nickelback who's going to play that role for the team and probably play that role for a long time? Or do you go and kind of get one of the best cornerbacks available, but those cornerbacks tend to be guys who have all their experience on the outside because they're great cornerbacks and they're matching up against the best receivers in college, and they don't have that experience inside. And then do you, you know, kick one of the, you know, one of the other players, you know, inside to be able to do that? You know, I think that's going to be the question, but ultimately I think the Falcons are going to be going out looking for what player can be that physical presence, but also, you know, cover those slot receivers that are becoming so common in the NFL.
Hey, Joe, earlier in the week, we saw the news out of Miami that Jalen Ramsey and the Dolphins are probably going to split ways. There's ties, obviously, yep, with him and Ra. Do you, you give any credence to the possibility of that?
Well, I think there's obviously interest from the Falcons just based on the relationships there with Raheem Morris and Jalen Ramsey. And so, you know, I think that would they like to get something done? Would they like to bring him in? Of course they would. I think, you know, what team wouldn't want to put Jalen Ramsey on their own? Well, yeah, apparently. But I think that there, you know, there's kind of an issue here with actually making a trade work. You know, the Falcons don't really have draft capital to be able to trade away. So if that's the case, you know, are you willing to move a Kyle Pitts or a Tyler Allgeier? I'm just throwing names out there of guys who kind of have had their names in trade rumors over this offseason. I don't know. And maybe it becomes more feasible once you get past the draft and you get into the summer, especially if you are able to move on from Kirk Cousins at some point and open up some salary cap space that allows you to, you know, better fit a guy like Jalen Ramsey into that financial picture. I think that if there's going to be something that happens with the Falcons, it's going to be later down the road. So if you do want to see Jalen Ramsey in a Falcons uniform, you know, obviously you've got to be rooting for no kind of sudden movement to be happening here before the draft. And unfortunately for the Falcons, I think a lot of other teams are going to have that kind of draft capital to be able to, you know, entice the Dolphins in making a move happen. If he was a free agent, this would be a totally different story. But the fact that there's a trade and the Dolphins have to accept that trade package, that's what's really going to be tough for the Falcons in this situation.
Hey, Joe, since we won't talk to you before the first round, we'll talk to you the day after. Give me a name. Who do you think is the guy that you expect to see the Falcons take at 15?
Mike Green. If he's there, okay. Mike Green. It's got to be. The combine right. number, the 6.853 cone is what really sold it for me. That's the speed coming around the edge, as well as the production he had. Love the guy.
He's kind of the second guest today because we had Greg Cosell on from NFL Films, and he spoke really highly. He didn't say he thinks the Falcons are going to take him, but he spoke really highly of him as well. Joe, we appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Jay.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Smoking Joe Patrick there, Falcons insider, also covers Atlanta United here for Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yes.
We will come back and get to a back page with Bo, as well as Sports Jeopardy on Happy Hour Friday. We're broadcasting live from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. If you want to come by and see us, we'll be here till 2 o'clock. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Happy Hour Friday, Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Wow. Thanks for being with us. If you get a chance to come on by, we'll be here till 2 o'clock. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. A couple minutes away from the back page with Bo, also Sports Jeopardy coming up as well. Thanks again to Smokin' Joe Patrick for hanging out with us. He said Mike Green too. So,
yep.
The closer we get to the draft, the more people saying Mike Green for the Falcons.
He going 14.
So yeah, he won't be here.
Yeah, he'll be pick 14.
He won't be here.
Yeah, he'll be a pick 14. Just a player. I just crush a lot. Well, as big as he was, he probably crushed a couple ribs.
Probably.
No pun.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
Yeah, he crushed a couple ribs.
Yeah.
And everything, but hey. How the hell do I go back in that? My bad, because it came on the car the other day, and I did the, and like everybody, when we were driving back, and like everybody was taking a nap, but I mean, I was loud as hell.
Well, how do you not? I mean, what a great song.
Everybody jumped up. I was like, all right, man, take all that back to sleep. But you know, the crazy thing is like road tripping. When you road trip, there's nothing nastier than the backseat because the kids have been.
Ugh.
So, I finally had a chance to get over and vacuum out the car and everything this morning. Dude, it's amazing. The mess that is in a child's car seat. Bash's car seat, I might have to just go get another one. It is so much gunk and all kind of stuff just in the creases of a car seat.
Yep.
Don't make no damn sense.
So the majority of like the long trips we do in her car.
So
we've got the car seats in my car and the car seats in her car. So the ones in her car are just,
filthy.
She got in an accident a couple weeks ago, so her car has been in the shop, so she had to switch the car seats out. When she did, it was the same thing. I mean, it's just like, you want to talk about goldfish, gummy whatever,
yes.
Spilled stuff.
Yes.
Because he's just a little.
He's a boy.
Nasty little.
He's a boy.
And she's doing better, but she's not much better.
Right.
You know, so it's just, I don't let them eat in my car. They're only in my car for 45 seconds.
Right.
From the house to school and back. So, my car's fine. And I always give her a hard time. I'm like, yeah, my car's spotless. What's wrong with yours? Yeah. Why is it so gross back there? But, yeah, no, it's really gross.
Yeah.
And especially, like, if something gets spilled in the car seat and you have to take part of it up.
Yes.
And then you get in the underbelly of it. Ugh.
There's nothing worse than that.
Like, oh, I guess we went to Chick-fil-A 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
There's a waffle fry.
There's a damn fry. There's a damn fry back there, man. But, yeah, I was like, y'all. Between that, the best thing, though, is because I don't let them – I do my best not to let them eat in the car or drink in my car. They can do whatever they want in mama car. But they ain't no cup holders, Andy, because every cup in our house is in her car. No, she brought the cups in last night. It was – I promise you, Andy, it was stack five.
It was, like Steven Jackson.
Yes. I was like, come on. Come on. I mean, because it's so interesting to me, and this is one of the things where fellas, the city boys, this is when we win. This is always our one single win. If you're ever looking for these glasses or your mugs, they're in a car.
Yeah.
Came in, thank five stack. And we only drink out of these certain glass pattern. It's like six of them that we have. That's all I live. I had to go get paper cups because there were so many people at my house yesterday, so I had to go get cups for everybody. But if you want to be up on your wife, all right, fellas, go look in the car and see where all the damn glasses and mugs are.
Because that's where they are.
That's where they are.
They're all in the back seat.
They're all in the car.
They're all half filled with coffee.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
That's the worst.
Yes.
Because you kind of stack them up to try to bring them in to help out, and then one of them tips over.
Dude.
You get coffee
all
over your shirt.
Meanwhile,
I drink coffee every single day.
Yes.
I got two Yetis.
Yes.
Two Yetis. That's it. There's always the back and forth. They both came from the Tour Championship.
Can I be real with you about the Tour Championship thing?
Yeah.
I try not to drink out of them. I think it's kind of fancy.
Yeah, it is.
I know, so I don't want to drink out of it.
Well, I'm kind of an Augusta guy now.
Yeah,
so
I know. Oh.
I need people to know how fancy I am.
Can we go get to the back page of Bo, please?
Why?
Yeah.
I mostly wear golf tournament stuff.
Yeah.
You see that? I got my Hilton head hat
Bo,
on.
Bo, please. Can we go to
Tour Championship
page,
Yeti?
Thank you, Bo.
Masters gear.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Back page of Bo, please. This guy said, well, you know I've been to Atlanta, Augusta now.
I have.
I mean, damn.
I can't wait to get rich and forget everybody. You know what I mean? I can't wait. Act totally different. Oh, God, that'd be a dream come true. Give me a chance to sell out. I'd sell out so quick. Hey, Bo. Brought to you by Solomon Brothers Jewelry. Go to one of their three locations or shop online at SolomonBrothers.com or on Instagram at Solomon Brothers. How you doing, Bo?
All right, gentlemen. Well, let's go ahead and get ready to file this one under You Can't Make This Stuff Up. But the Great American Sperm Race is about to happen, and I'm not talking about whales here.
Okay.
The world's first ever sperm race will officially happen at the
Isn't
Hollywood.
Every pregnancy just that?
What's that?
I
guess
so.
It kind of, so
I,
all right.
Like, look who's talking to is real. That's
so,
how they are.
Look, a group of young rich people have a startup company called Sperm Racing. And in order to spotlight the serious dip in male fertility over the last 40 years, apparently, because there I have some numbers here, and it's a pretty serious dip.
Yeah.
This thing's going to take place at the Hollywood Palladium. Supposedly, thousands of people are going to be in attendance. All right, there's going to be two competitors, and we're talking about five hundredths of a millimeter long sperm racing in a 20 centimeter long track designed to imitate the female reproductive system. All right.
What?
There's going to be this is 100% happening on April 25th, next weekend. High-definition cams are going to be watching every move. There's going to be live streams, commentary, leaderboards, and replays. Fans are even going to be able to place bets on the winning swimmers.
Now, I'm not saying that I want to broadcast this. I'm not saying I want to do play-by-play on this.
But I kind of want to
watch
it.
But I would say, if they wanted two broadcasters who don't have any problem with fertility, we would have been good options.
The most fertile
sports radio show in America.
I'm so damn confused. I really, really am right now, Bo. So, like, what are people going to be watching?
They're going to be watching two literal sperm race down a 20-millimeter track, 20-centimeter track.
Is this, like, what's the thing, AI?
No.
No, it's real.
No, they're real sperms. Yes. In high definition, probably up on a screen. And look, you really have no idea how this is going to go because they could go fast.
Like, are they going to put one of them cameras?
They could go fast. They could go slow.
Are they going to put one of them? You know what? Let
yes,
me stop,
they are.
It's going to have to be super zoomed in.
Look,
it's going to be a super zoomed in, high definition camera because, as we all know, sperm are tiny.
It's going to be two from the same person or two from different people?
That I do not know. All I know is it's going to be two sperms.
How do you sign up for this?
To put yours in there?
Because, again, I think I'm pretty – mine are swimming.
I just want to know, like
– I can look into that for you if you are interested in –
Well, it's next week.
Is it like a tryout?
It's next week and I'm busy.
Well, no, it's next weekend. So
next
I don't know if the sperms that are competing are actually training right now or if they're even alive. I have no idea.
They're just – yeah, I know probably where they are. But.
No clue.
They may be swimming around in a jar right now.
So what's the point? They're trying to find out, like, they're trying to get to the mothership.
They're doing this whole thing just to raise awareness.
Okay.
From 1973 to 2018, the human sperm count has plunged more than 50%.
Did I know that?
Don't you have a theory, though? I mean, it doesn't seem like that complicated.
Microwaves, I don't know.
No, it's not that. Everybody's
who knows?
Eating terrible stuff and they're fat.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's probably
everybody's testosterone's low because they got, you know, their body's filled with garbage.
Oh, no, I did not know that.
I don't know that to be true. That's just my theory.
Oh.
I mean, I would imagine if you looked at the chart of you're talking about fertility, male fertility being down.
Right.
And obesity generally being up. I bet it starts right around the same time.
Okay.
So you're saying they should also be doing a 5K. That leads up into this race.
Yeah, do a real race, and then maybe that'll help. You know what I mean? Don't do a 20-centimeter race. Get everybody who participated in it and everybody else out there jogging a little bit, maybe eating some greens, and maybe that'll help.
And real quick, for all of you wrestling sports car nerds, as y'all know, so WrestleMania is this weekend. So happening this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, on every wrestler that's competing in WrestleMania, they're going to have a patch. A WrestleMania logo patch somewhere on their gear. After the event, The patches are going to be ripped off and placed on a trading card that's going to be autographed to make a one-of-one that is going to be placed in WWE Topps trading cards for someone to open up and find. So good luck,
Bo. I hope you find it.
I hope I find one, too.
I hope you find it.
That's all I worry right now.
I hope you find it.
That Bo finds it.
I'm sure there's others out there that will also be looking for it, but I hope you're the one.
Those 20 John Cena heel turn cards didn't get the one of one. Also did not get the one of one of the Travis Scott Rock card either. But I do have some pretty cool cards, you know. Still looking for that one of one, baby. Still looking for that lotto ticket. Oh, and hey, safe travels to Bella and Kate and Tara, who are on their way to Pittsburgh right now to pick up Paul Skeens bobblehead tomorrow.
There we go.
Nice.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Nice. Had a great time in Pittsburgh a couple years ago.
Pittsburgh, the PNC Park is beautiful. Like it's near the top of my list.
Pittsburgh sucks. Ain't no shakes.
Well, I wasn't doing that. But yeah, in terms of just like general stuff to do, it was fine. It's better than Charlotte.
Oh, God. Leave Charlotte alone. All right, Bo.
Oh, yeah. You want to do Sports Jeopardy?
Let's do it. Paul Skeens.
Smart move getting a beard.
But,
Bo, they're
going up there for something else other than getting you a Paul Skeens bobblehead, right?
No, they're going to the game, and Paul Skeens is actually pitching tomorrow.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
They're going to Pittsburgh for a baseball game?
So this idea originated because, you know, Isabella, my oldest daughter, is at LSU right now in, you know, school, and she's a huge Paul Skeens fan. They just won the national championship in 23.
Gotcha.
I was wanting to take her there myself, and let's go to a game and get the bobblehead. But then it turns out the Braves are in town, so that just kind of got washed. And I was like, you know what,
who do they play? Who are they playing?
That I'm not sure of. Hopefully somebody they can beat.
Sorry, I can look it up.
All right. Randy.
Andy.
All right, gentlemen. In what year did the Hawks start playing in Atlanta?
Andy.
I don't know.
Andy Bunker.
1967.
Oh.
Randy.
Not right.
Randy 1968. Michael.
That is correct. 1968.
But I think they had a preseason game in 1967.
Ah, yeah.
They're playing the Guardians, by the way.
That would have had to have been like 6 months though, like prior, right?
Yeah.
Don't they start in November?
Wrong. I'm wrong. I'm just trying not to accept it.
All right, fellas, if you took a trip to the small town of Hampton, Georgia, what sport are you most likely going to watch?
Hampton, Georgia?
Hampton, Georgia.
I don't know where the hell Hampton, Georgia is. I do know where Hampton, Georgia is. Randy.
Randy Michael.
And then where the dog track at?
There may be one in Hampton, but that's probably not what you're going down there.
I mean, it's obviously not football, baseball, basketball, whatever. I mean, car racing, auto racing.
That is correct. Andy ties it up. Hampton is where AMS is.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It really ain't technically Hampton, though. It's technically Jonesboro.
Is it?
I don't know.
I'll have to consult.
It's like my preseason 1967
yeah,
thing?
Yeah.
All right. Who
was
the
track?
Who was the first Atlanta Falcon to amass more than 500 receptions?
Randy.
Randy Michael.
Was it White? God dog. White Toes Jones?
Shoes?
White Shoes, yeah.
That is incorrect. No, it's not.
Yeah. Is it Roddy White?
It's not Roddy White.
Andre Rison.
Terrence Mathis, actually.
Oh.
Oh, damn. I forget how cold Terrence was here.
He was. He was pretty good.
Yes.
What Falcons player led the NFL in 2006 with 9 interceptions?
Randy.
Randy Michael.
And, oh, God, dog. You said 06?
06.
I know who it is. It's not.
Are you seeing his face?
Yes, I am. God, dog. I'll just go D'Angelo Hall. I know it's not him, though.
That is correct.
Oh, it is D-Hall. Okay.
D-Hall, 9 picks in 2006. Who holds the Falcons' record for most all-purpose yards in a single season?
Andy.
Andy McBunker. Andy McMichael.
McBunker. Andy McBunker. Is it Bijan?
It is not.
Randy.
Randy McMichael.
Is it Michael Turner?
Also incorrect. Gerald Riggs.
Oh.
2,165 in 1985.
Dang, really? Bijan's going to break that this year.
Yeah.
He may. Yeah, that's the projection. He should go well over
2,000. Michael had like 1,814, 400 yards. Okay.
All right, we're up against it. The score is Randy 2, Andy 1. What number did Deion Sanders wear as a rookie in 1989 before changing his number to 21?
Wow.
I don't. Scott Case. Oh, never mind. Randy.
Randy Michael.
Scott Case was here, I think, so he didn't wear 25. So I'm going to go Deion 27.
Incorrect.
I mean, when he was in Baltimore, he wore 37.
We went for his number, his age.
It was? Okay, yeah. So then that wasn't it. 22.
That's incorrect. So I knew that same fact about why he wore 37 in Baltimore, but the answer is actually 37.
Dang it! Should have said 37.
Damn,
my bad. Should have gone with my gut.
All right, and we're out of time, so that's going to leave Randy the winner of this one at 2-1.
Brutal.
Another shake of Fridays.
Did you hear it? There it is. There it is.
Yeah.
Another All right.
shake of Fridays.
Well, we'll come back. We'll get to the big story of the day, which is the Hawks have a must-win game tonight, and the Braves have what feels like a must-win series this weekend. We'll talk a little NBA playoffs outside of just potentially the Hawks and Cavs, some of the other fun series that we're looking forward to at 1:20 and about 45 minutes away from an AMA. Final hour coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.